If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code, a lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM, let's create.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
Hey, Daily Show Ears Edition listeners. This is Sebastian Ischer, segment director for The Daily Show. Today, I'm joined by Daily Show correspondent Michael Costa. Welcome.
Hello. Hey, everybody.
So we just aired a piece that brought us both to Eagle Pass, Texas, to explore the issue with the migrant crisis at the border. Give us a quick summary of the piece.
The summary of the piece is that The Daily Show goes to Eagle Pass, Texas, to hear from the locals about the invasion, the disruption of their life. And the little twist, the little hook, is that the invasion is not from Central Americans trying to cross into the United States, but from the Republican governors, the National Guard, the news media, everyone who's come down to this specific place and caused and created a chaotic environment.
But how are the locals coping with this relentless onslaught?
They've come and taken over the town.
It's our land, and there's just people coming in.
They're causing, havoc and craziness.
There's chaos.
Shouldn't you be welcoming? Don't you have any empathy for the journey they've taken to get here?
They're not welcome. Get the hell out of our place.
You can't move around with seeing them. You can't get a meal in a restaurant. Can't get a hotel room unless you're willing to pay $400.
Wait, who are you talking about right now?
The State Guard from Florida, Tennessee, Arkansas, Idaho.
And you directed it. So is that an accurate assessment?
Yeah, that's totally what the piece is. Maybe we should explain what Eagle Pass is. It's like a little border town.
On the Rio Grande River.
Right.
Eagle Pass is in Texas. Across from the river is Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one crossing, legal crossing. There's like a little bridge, right?
There's a legal crossing, which is like one of the biggest border crossings to Mexico.
Right.
In terms of like goods and legally people going across. Yep. And then there's an illegal crossing right next to it.
Right.
Where I guess at a couple of months ago, a lot of migrants were coming over through the river.
Yep.
And that led to the shutdown of that area.
For anyone who's listening, usually when they show southern border stuff, it's Eagle Pass. It just became a really popular crossing, and there was thousands of people crossing illegally. And by the way, we should mention this. This is something I learned. They cross illegally, but they do it often in an organized fashion, because then they want to talk to Border Patrol and claim asylum.
Right.
I think sometimes people envision people crossing, like sprinting through the river, climbing a tree, and then like getting on a bus and they're out of there like Jason Bourne. They're actually like lined up, a lot of them, to cross, meet a Border Patrol agent, and claim asylum. So it's done in a... often a cordial way. Now, there are, of course, people that don't do that. But what I learned in the piece, and we'll get into all this, but really it seems like the American system of asylum seekers needs some revision.
Yeah.
But that's maybe getting too far ahead.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think that point of them coming across and basically giving themselves up to Border Patrol, these are not people that are trying to sneak in or disappear, you know.
And there's a funny part in the piece where I truly was confused, because when we were talking in front of the church with the older gentleman, and he was saying how they had guns.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought he was talking about the migrants. And I was like, surprised. I was like, I'm surprised that like they got their families and plastic bags of clothes and they also have guns. And then he corrected me. He said, no, I'm talking about the people out of state who came down to protect the Americans who came down to protect the border. And I was like, holy shit, you're talking, the people who have guns are the American citizens who've entered Texas to quote unquote protect the border. That was a funny moment.
Who are like MAGA militants, basically.
Yeah, essentially. Yeah.
Yeah.
What you need to be afraid of is some of these convoys of people.
You're talking about Central American caravans.
Oh, no, we're talking about the people that are invading the country here, not the Mexicans.
The invasion here is from Governor Abbott and the Trumpers and the MAGA people.
Yes, Eagle Pass has been overrun since Governor Greg Abbott declared a crisis at the border and sent in the Texas National Guard, attracting a flood of Republican governors, congressional delegations, and even billionaire weirdos.
You know, we made a lot of jokes about how this town was being invaded by Governor Abbott and stuff, but they actually did take over this park called Shelby Park and shut it down so that local people could not use the park. They can't enter it anymore.
They still can't.
And they put barbed wire all the way around it. And that's where all the photo ops are happening. Like whenever you see Trump down there or anybody, they're in that park in front of the river doing press conferences.
And they actually have a festival at Shelby Park called the Abrazo Festival, which means
hugs. Festival of hugs.
So they literally have a festival of hugs that is now surrounded by Florida National Guard, Florida Fish and Game, because they lent, quote unquote, their services to Texas for some reason. Barbed wire, storage containers, right? Like train. Mm-hmm. Like they've lined the park. It's a sad sight to see. It's like, is this where we're at in humanity, in America, that this is what we turned a park into right now? But that's what the piece is about.
Yeah. I think also a really key takeaway for me was the fact that they militarized this crossing with the border patrol and all of these barbed wire and stuff, and it doesn't actually work. It doesn't. It's not keeping anybody out, really.
Yeah.
Because people can just go around it.
Yeah, and they do.
And they go to, you know, other crossings. Yeah. So really, it is just a, it's like a stage for them. They set up like an expensive backdrop.
Well, a lot of the people we talked to said, hey, the barbed wire does work. But when you really dig into it, what works, or at least what has worked now, is that the Mexican National Guard on the other side, and we saw them in the piece, stops the influx earlier. Now, me and you talked about this. What does that mean they go in Mexico? I don't know. But really, it appears the reason that this influx has stopped at this particular border is that Mexico is policing it more on their side. But what happens with those people that get policed there, I don't know.
I mean, what people were telling us is that it comes down to money. Like the U.S. basically pays Mexico to enforce the border on that side so that people don't get over to the Rio Grande.
Right. And to talk about like how the barbed wire doesn't deter. So we went to this pecan farmer's land that has a lot of barbed wire and fencing up, which she didn't ask for, but it is her land, but the government supposedly, I don't know if they paid her to put it there, I don't know. But she said, it used to be a pretty sight. I don't want this here, but now it's here. What you see when you get there is you see clothes on the barbed wire. You see where people have crossed the river, even though there's buoy fences that sadly migrants have lost their lives being trapped in. And then they throw their clothes over the barbed wire and they climb over the barbed wire to get to and into the United States. So it slows them down probably, but they're still doing it. You see a lot of clothes on the barbed wire. I mean, it's like you immediately know what it is.
And I think these are the people who are probably the most desperate and the least savvy about what's going on that are trying to cross there.
Yeah.
Because the people who know what's up know where to go to cross to the other side. You know, there's spots miles up and down from that area.
Yeah. It feels desperate. It feels flailing. It feels emergency. It's, you know, it's you're getting people who are hungry, cold, tired, You see kids' shoes. I mean, there was kids' shoes. You know, it's like, now, before you get all sad, it probably means they made it if we're seeing the clothes.
Right.
Because they leave them there because they're wet and they keep moving. But it's a fucking mess. And anybody who lives in the United States, and I say this as a Michigander, we don't really understand up here. You got to really pay attention and really think about what it's like down in our American border. It's because you just don't have this growing up in Michigan. I could never relate to what this was.
Right.
Yeah.
So I guess one other thing we should try to mention, because it's in the story, but it, you know, mm-hmm. we didn't have time to get into all the detail, mm-hmm. but a big part of this standoff is that the governor of Texas has sent in the National Guard and mm-hmm. kind of taken over border mm-hmm. enforcement mm-hmm. as opposed to the Border Patrol mm-hmm. that's federal that was usually doing this. And in the, you know, Democrat controlled states like Arizona and California, the Border Patrol is still doing the same job. Mm-hmm. And in Texas now, it's become a thing that the state, you know, is basically doing that. And they're using the barbed wire and are way more aggressive, I guess, yeah. about it. And I think that's...
So Governor Abbott's basically doing is violating the federal law and taking over.
The only people that are going into the water are individuals from the press that want to see how ugly it is out there.
The governor of Texas is here disrupting your job, and you want to deport him.
Get him out, because, yeah. I mean, I'm expected to follow federal law, local law, yeah. state law. I would expect the same thing from our leader of our state.
And I feel like that's part of, you know, what is kind of disturbing about this is that you are basically saying, we don't care if these people get chopped up in the mm-hmm. razor wire. We don't mm-hmm. care if they drown necessarily, as long as it helps us keep them out.
Right.
And knowing that some people are going to come over anyway, that seems like a very kind of a harsh and brutal way to treat
right.
humans.
Right. You know, the Republican-sided people that we spoke to in the piece were very proud of the barbed wire. They said it was working, you know. I mean, this reminds me of Jon Stewart's piece on this Monday night, but it was like the ideology of the Democrats isn't matching up to the reality of the situation. But the Republicans are more excited to push fear than actually solve the problem.
Right.
And it does seem that it seems like a bipartisan border reform bill would be the best way forward, where both parties can give and take a little bit. And we even had that and it got killed.
Yeah. And the people that were there, they told us they really would want this bill yeah. to pass. And yeah. they were like, we need money. That's yeah. the main thing yeah. we need to deal with this.
Yeah. And Trump called his cronies. They killed the bill. And then you see what he's doing the playbook.
Right.
He's up there right now campaigning on fear and migrant crime and
fentanyl.
Like, yeah. And it is a messy problem. But come on, America. As Joe Biden, I think, said, like, come on, we can solve. We've solved greater problems. We can solve this. We can at least get closer to a solution.
But we don't want to solve it.
We don't want to solve
it. We shouldn't solve it because it's useful, you know?
So yeah, yeah.
How do you balance the seriousness of a topic like this
yeah.
with trying to be funny and make jokes about it?
I feel like you're thinking that I wrote that question. Because the first thing I said to everybody who brought this, because this is my third or fourth southern border piece. I did a piece with Dulce when Trump, with the Tijuana-San Diego border. I did a piece where I dressed as a part of Trump's wall called Bricky the Border Wall and went to a Trump rally. I did a border piece with you where Americans were crossing daily into Mexico in Yuma, Arizona to get dental care.
And you had dental surgery in that piece.
Yeah, dental surgery in that piece. And then I did this piece. And my initial reaction when someone says, hey, it's a southern border piece, San Costa, I go, it is really hard to be funny. It's really hard to be funny with this topic. There's baby shoes next to the Rio Grande River. As all Daily Show pieces, I think we did get some funny moments. But it's hard because it's real. It's not a light subject, but the hypocrisy of claiming it's a problem and then refusing to solve it is
a good target.
There's good room there for comedy.
And I think in this case, we had the whole all of the hype and the propaganda around the invasion and the yes. Fox News angle yeah. and the politicians saying the same thing again and again, and we could sort of play off of that.
Yeah.
So we weren't actually really talking about the actual sad, tragic yeah. reality. Yeah. We're talking about the fake bullshit yeah. reality. Yeah.
And it's good that we had that conversation many times before the piece, because we had a clear hook to hang our hat on. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, the fucking, like, North Dakota governor is down there. Governors that believe the border is a campaign strategy for them go down there, even though their state is 3,000 miles away. I mean, it's just like 100% they use this little park that had to cancel its Abrazzo Festival to get re-election in Louisiana. It's insane.
Right. It's almost like you have to go if you're a Republican
right.
governor.
Right.
And you have to send fish and game right. or whatever random yes. office you have left.
Yeah. It was, I think what did it for me, because I was a little bit hesitant about the piece in the beginning, like not going, you know, before we went, was that 13 or 14 Republican governors showing up. It's such a photo op.
Right.
It's not, they don't give a shit. They're not trying to solve the problem. They're there to show their most extreme base. I'm a hard ass. I support putting barbed wire down. So I thought Biden might have had something when he had gotten this bipartisan bill, at least part of it, moving forward. I was excited about that, but then obviously it got killed. So then I'm back to being a little pessimistic about
yeah.
it.
Yeah. And it's true that the hotel was wildly overpriced, because
wildly overpriced.
It was full of National Guardsmen yeah. who were like hanging out, playing on their laptops,
yeah.
going for runs.
Yeah. So the hotel, what you're saying there is the hotel jacked the prices up because of all this influx of National Guard news media. Our hotel was like $360 a night. It was that same hotel anywhere in the United States is $129 a night. They had waffles the first morning, and then they took the waffles away. I mean, if you're going to charge me $360, where are my fucking waffles? You know
right.
what I'm saying?
Yeah, they should be consistent about the waffles, at least.
And it's Texas, so you know what the waffles are shaped like, right? Do you remember that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Weirdly, Ohio.
And
Didn't make any sense. It was shaped like Texas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the rooms looked out on the parking lot.
On the parking lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The wait is over. The Chi is back on Paramount Plus, and the stakes have never been higher. Everything changes on the South Side when a new threat comes to power in the Showtime original series from Emmy winner Lena Waithe. Battle lines will be drawn, alliances will shift, and danger lies around every corner, leaving everyone to wonder who they can trust. Visit ParamountPlus.com/TheChi to get a 50% discount off the Paramount Plus with Showtime annual plan. Offer ends July 14th. Subscription auto-renews. Restrictions apply.
Now I'd like to introduce you to Meaningful Beauty, the famed skincare brand created by iconic supermodel Cindy Crawford. It's her secret to absolutely gorgeous skin. Meaningful Beauty makes powerful and effective skincare simple, and it's loved by millions of women. It's formulated for all ages and all skin tones and types, and it's designed to work as a complete skincare system, leaving your skin feeling soft, smooth, and nourished. I recommend starting with Cindy's full regimen, which contains all five of her best-selling products, including the amazing Youth Activating Melon Serum. This next generation serum has the power of melon leaf stem cell technology. It's melon leaf stem cells encapsulated for freshness and released onto the skin to support a visible reduction in the appearance of wrinkles. With thousands of glowing five-star reviews, why not give it a try? Subscribe today and you can get the amazing Meaningful Beauty System for just $49.95. That includes our introductory five-piece system, free gifts, free shipping, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. All of that available at MeaningfulBeauty.com.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
One thing I want to jump back to is you talked about how hard it is to be funny in this pieces,
Yeah.
And I think it is it is a bit trickier because it's kind of a risk. You don't want to seem glib or come off like an asshole by making jokes around something that is very painful and, you know, sad. But I think there are some very funny moments in the piece.
Are there? Tell me about them.
I think that some of the organic conversations with the people we talk to, like the Democratic chairwoman who was calling the politicians pendejos.
Pendejos.
And then the back and forth between what is a pendejo.
Right.
It's a political stunt. The Republican pendejos who don't give a damn.
I minored in Spanish, but I forgot pendejos. Does it mean politician?
Well, it's kind of a heavier word than idiots.
Not as heavy.
Not as heavy as motherfuckers, but heavier than idiots, stupid.
Somewhere between mother. An idiot.
I would say so.
You know, that is funny, absurd thing that you're not going to see in any other story about the border crisis. And it kind of says something about how people see the politicians, you know?
Well, and, you know, look, I made my own bed. I've told Jen Flans, the executive producer, many, many times, I want the hard pieces. I want this show to rely on me to be able to pull off these things.
Right.
Because I know my favorite comics can do that. But when you're boarding the flight for Eagle Pass, you go, why did I say that? So, yeah, it's also funny when that Republican woman is working at the mall and she had to take a 15-minute break and go talk to us in the parking lot and then just real casually just throws around like a really old racist term that I hadn't heard since I was like 10 years old. And it just rolled right off her tongue.
And I think you did a follow-up question with her and you almost kind of gave her an option to walk it back.
Right.
I felt like we were like, are you sure you want to be saying this? And she was just totally blasé about it.
And
like, was like, no, that's what they are.
I'm talking about the illegals. The wetbacks.
And, oh, I'm sorry, what did you call them?
Wetbacks.
Wetbacks. Man, I haven't heard that word in a long time.
Okay, now that she'd gotten that out of her system, I was ready for a more nuanced conversation.
We just want them to come legally through the front door.
Calling them wetbacks to me is not a we welcome you here.
I want them to come legally. That's what I want. So they aren't wetbacks. So they don't have to swim the river. They wouldn't be wetbacks if they didn't.
I mean, just the word invasion alone is an incredibly racist word that you hear all the time about this. About 6 months ago when I was guest hosting and they kind of asked, what do you want to talk about? The southern border was on the list because I said, we're not covering this. Like, this is a real thing that's happening. It's a problem. And we're so untouched by this in New York. And then migrants started to show up here.
Right.
Martha's Vineyard. And it has changed the conversation. I don't want to say it's an effective strategy by Abbott, but it's definitely got more people and more places aware of what's happening.
They hire the bus companies and they put people on the buses. They give them water to drink and they basically send them to these locations. And a big part of the problem is that there's no infrastructure for them when they get there.
Yeah.
And then the mayors of, you know, New York City and Denver and other places where these migrants are showing up are asking the feds for money, but the feds can't do anything because they haven't passed the bill with the funding.
Jeez.
So it's the standoff that is just creating. Right. Then there's like more homeless people in New York who don't have anywhere to go. And
Whenever I do a field piece, I walk away with a very simple solution to a very complex problem that I've just educated myself on for 2 days. Mm-hmm. Everyone. And my solution for the southern border is, if you seek asylum, why can't we get you an asylum hearing in 24 hours, 48 hours? I mean, wouldn't that solve a lot of the problems? Because right now they seek asylum and they know that they'll be waiting years. I mean, from the New York Times article, it was like maybe 10 years, some people or something. So then they're setting up a life here while they're waiting for our government to get their shit figured out. Why can't we do this faster?
I think it's they need money. They need more judges. Yeah. They need more infrastructure. And nobody wants to pay for it. And they don't want to pass any bills because nobody wants to compromise on what they want.
Yeah.
And I mean, another thing, we're talking about things that I did not expect or even had an understanding of before we went down there.
I expected the hotel at $360 a night to have lotion.
Right.
And I sent a PA out to go get lotion. Okay?
Yeah.
And I want this in the podcast.
It's in the piece twice, actually. I think this has been it's kind of your passion point for the story.
I'm not even a big lotion guy, but if you're going to spend $360 now, my expectations are higher.
And it is dry down there.
It's dry.
It's dry. It's desert.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other thing that we know is the reason that so many people are coming is there are jobs for them.
Yeah.
There's a very tight job market.
Yeah.
And if there were no jobs, people would not be coming up here. So economically, they are contributing a lot. And people are saying that that's a big part of why the recession after COVID in the U.S. has been much less bad than in a lot of European countries, is because we have all these immigrants coming in and we have a strong workforce. And then these people spend money and they contribute and all that kind of stuff. I guess the hypocrisy of getting these people in here, giving them jobs, exploiting their labor, and then pretending that they're rapists and murderers coming over is, you know, I think that's the part of it that is kind of makes me kind of angry and
of
also
course.
Is a good reason why we do these type of pieces.
Yeah.
One of the questions we talked about yesterday for this is how you conduct interviews with people when you're kind of in the field like this. And is it different from how you're doing an interview at the desk, you think? Or what's the strategy like?
Yeah, I mean, it's much different. At the desk, it's like the glitz and glamour of showbiz, and you've got 6 or 7 questions. You got a countdown clock. They're there to promote something. You better get that. The whole reason they're there is because they got to promote their book. Or these are in the field. These are, in particular, the interviews in these pieces, which were not done at their offices in a chair with nice lighting. I mean, this is as close to truly just talking to someone. The only difference is that probably them and me thought about what we were going to wear the night before, right? Because, you know, everyone's at least got a nice shirt on. But I mean, you're as close to a real conversation as you're going to get. I think for me, the keys are listen. Michael, shut the fuck up for a second and just listen to what they're saying. But I say that jokingly, but also so seriously. It's like, because we have these lists of things to ask and we have these things that we are kind of not trying to get, but hoping we can maybe get. And it's like, just listen to them, dude. So many of them are so happy you're there to talk to them. So just listen to what they have to say.
And I feel like the funniest things in these interviews are not stuff that was written or planned in advance, but was just an organic response to what they were saying. Like the MAGA guy that you talked to, who was there supporting Governor Abbott by basically sitting outside the border.
Yeah.
For a week, he had driven down and he was sleeping in his car and just sitting outside the border.
And he smelled like it.
He was ranting at people and basically doing news interviews all day long.
Yeah. What was the funny part?
You were disagreeing. You were disagreeing with him about the, how efficient or how effective all this stuff was in terms of the barbed wire and the army and all that stuff. And he basically said, "Well, you sold your soul to the devil. You're like a fancy New York media guy."
I'm from Texas.
Yeah,
I'm here to support those people who are fighting for me, my life, my land. Do we have guts enough to defend ourselves? Do we? Now, you're shaking your head and you don't really
get
skeptical. You're wearing a suit and you've been successful in the New York media. You know what? You sold your soul to the devil.
If I sold my soul to the devil to be successful in news media, I would be more successful. I wouldn't be sitting here in Eagle Pass, Texas. You think I want to stay at a Marriott Town Plaza with no body lotion?
That sounds like something the devil would say.
The super religious, they always have that back in their back pocket. They can always just say that's what the devil would say. And
right.
Then they win. I mean, how can you can you beat that?
But, you know, besides the fact that he was crazy and he said some very horrible things about the migrants, he was also a pretty friendly guy.
Yeah.
He was, happy to talk to us. And I feel like that's also another interesting thing, is that you get to go to these places and talk to so-called real Americans out there who, in some cases, have very negative ideas about what we're doing, you know, or what you're representing when you're there in the suit and stuff. But they still have, like, a basic kind of friendly American outlook a lot of the time.
I think what it does when you talk is it removes all the signage and tribalism, and you just get a human. So I saw a scared man, I saw a fearful man, and I probably still hold my judgment to him to be accurate, but maybe a little bit less. And isn't that the whole point of a conversation? I don't know.
But I think also, you know, he's probably consuming a lot of media and seeing a lot of those same politicians that are down there grandstanding in front of the border, talking about the invasion and all of that stuff. Yeah. And you see how it materializes in the psyche of a normal person who is just consuming that stuff.
I think that's a great point. I think it's easy to see the rhetoric and you don't necessarily see the result of it. You see it go into this machine, but you don't see, when you crank the machine, you don't see what it spits out. And it's a guy like Dan, and it's problematic. The sound bites that they look at create a psyche that's problematic.
You know, we did a lot of interviews for this piece, and some of them were just random people we grabbed on the street. Some of them we had planned in advance. Mm-hmm. And one guy who we talked to, who was actually a great interview, was the chairman of the Republican Party in San Antonio, this guy named Jeff, who was a good interview, and you sparred with him very, enthusiastically. He debated you on a lot of topics.
Yep.
And then we ended up not using him because we just couldn't fit him in for time.
Yeah.
Although maybe there's a sequel at some point and we can get Jeff in there.
And you know what, Americans? We had a nice spar. We had fun.
Yeah.
We listened to each other. We both stopped talking when the other person had something to say. And we disagreed with each other.
And you
he's
didn't
a nice
call
guy.
Him, you didn't call him any names.
No.
You know, you didn't
curse
him.
What was the sign on the door? Sign on the door that said, "Think twice, somebody in here is armed."
It said, "Your life is not worth anything that you can take in this office."
Right.
And there was a picture of a gun.
So Texas.
I think the thing that was interesting about him is that he was another one of these guys who was very friendly, very open to talking to us, and also very sure of all of his talking points and completely convinced that he was not wrong and that there was no other way to look at it. And I think that that's sort of why the issue is so effective for politicians, because in a way, unless you go down there and actually deal with the people that are coming through, it's just kind of an abstract canvas that a lot of people project a lot of ideas onto. And it's kind of useful because you can use it to be scary, or you can use it to be a humanitarian, or, and it's sort of disconnected from the reality of it.
The southern border can be a tool for any politician, because you can use it as a tool to say, this is America, Statue of Liberty, bring it. And it can also be a tool of, get these people out. This is my country. Strong borders, law and order. And the answer is something in between. He talked about his immigrant parents, and I kind of repeated what he said, and then he said something real quick that deflected it.
Right.
But I was trying to make the point, dude, we all came from somewhere.
Right. And people used to get on a boat and get to Ellis Island, and then they would get the stamp there.
Yeah.
And that was the right way to get in. But what's the difference, really?
I know. And I also love when the other side, the Republican side, says, well, my parents did it the right way. I mean, I bet you half the people that say that are wrong. I mean, of course, I have kids. I lie to them every day. I tell them that all types of things that make me sound better. We don't know who did it the right way, who did it the wrong way, you know, and
And does it matter if you came here and you built a life and you have a family and kids and went to school here and all that stuff? At some point,
and you want to be the most capitalistic about it. They came here and paid taxes and contributed to the economy. That if that's like really how we're defining contribution, they contributed.
Right.
So I am not disappointed we didn't use him, but can you tell me why he didn't make it in?
You know, I think what it was is that the conversation we had about the bipartisan border bill, which was a really important part of the story in the sense that there was a solution that they were working towards and that was, you know, being supported by the Border Patrol.
And it was introduced by a Republican.
By a Republican who was pretty conservative.
Yes.
And then basically was killed by a tweet from Trump that said, we don't want to give Biden a win on this issue.
Yeah.
And then Republicans in the House said, we're not going to bring this up for a vote.
Yeah.
So it was killed. And he was saying, well, the bill was not good. And it was also not really bipartisan because the more extreme side of the Republicans did not want to vote for this bill anyway.
Right.
So you made the joke that it should have been a tripartisan bill, right? The Democrats, Republicans, and crazy Republicans.
And crazy Republicans,
But the problem with that side of the argument is that it's complicated to talk about the bill.
Mm-hmm.
It's complicated to talk about what was in it. Why didn't it pass? Mm-hmm. Why did Biden not set it up before this? You know, all of those things just take time to explain. And it's almost like we should do an entire piece on that thing in itself.
Right.
And once we started going to the border and talking to all the people there, and it was just too much real estate, basically.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's happens a lot with the pieces, that we are too ambitious, we try to do too much, and then in the end we have to pare it down to what is the cleanest, clearest point we can make with this, and then have to hope that people are going to, you know, look into it more, or that the show will cover things, you know, that we can't get to. And that is really the biggest fight in these pieces is how to get it down to a 6-minute cut that fits on the show. So we lose tons of great stuff every time.
Yeah.
You know what I want to do actually is I want to pitch another border story for you.
Oh, great.
Are you down? I love that you hate all these stories and every time I bring one up, you're like, oh no. And then at the end, you're like, oh, you know what? We did learn some things.
Well, I feel that way about every field piece.
Right.
I'm reluctant. And then I'm thankful at the end. But they're hard.
They are hard.
They're hard. And you have butterflies and you talk to people you wouldn't normally talk to. And it's all good for you. It builds character. But sometimes you don't want to build character. You know, I got kids at home, dude. My character's it's being tested already.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that you're stretching out of your comfort zone to do these pieces because I think it's great for the show.
It's good for the show.
And it's good for America.
Yeah, it's good for America. Thank you. You're fun to work with, even though you don't call action or cut. And I hope you enjoyed the piece, everybody.
Explore more shows from the Daily Show podcast universe by searching The Daily Show wherever you get your podcasts. Watch The Daily Show weeknights at 11, 10 Central on Comedy Central and stream full episodes anytime on Paramount Plus.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.